How long do I have again, my dear? How am I finished? 9:30. Al-Muslimu ya akhi. You want to look at a little bit of the characteristics of you if you call yourself a Muslim ya akhi. Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa min yadi. That the Muslim is the person from whose tongue and hands the Muslims are safe. Look at the beauty of this statement here, akhi. Al-Muslimu. The alif and lam there is the Muslim. In other words, here it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you who a Muslim is. And he says, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. That the Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands Muslims are safe. In other words, if I say from your tongue and hands, are you a Muslim, ya akhi? La ilaha illallah. If I'm not safe from your tongue and hands, are you a Muslim, ya akhi? And I live here, and the moment I step out of the masjid, and I'm from Trinidad, and I step out of the masjid, you know, he talk crap up there, man. MashaAllah. Are you my Muslim brother? Or you have something to say about me? Maybe I'm too fat, ya akhi. SubhanAllah. Are you my Muslim brother? Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. The Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands another Muslim is safe. Ya akhi, refrain your hand from your Muslim brother. Except to shake it. And to help him along. And if he is old, to help him out of the car to come to the salah. And to do something good, to give us a sadaqah. Al-yad al-uliya khayru min al-yad al-sufla. That the hand that is above is better than the hand that is underneath. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, hadith reported by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, and here he describes for us who a Muslim is and who that believer is. Iyyakum wa-dhanna. Now, by the way, probably you expected some kind of modernist and an intellectual and academic approach to racism. I ain't here for that, ya akhi. Because all of these intellectuals and all of the things that they purport and they put forward, ya akhi, where do you think they get it from? They get it from we thing, ya akhi. They get it from we thing. And they just take it and they change it up and they put it by in other names and that kind of thing. You know what they call it now? When people have a problem, the lawyers call it alternative dispute resolution techniques. You know what that is, ya akhi? You know what that is? Two Muslims come and sit down together and they appoint somebody who is an arbitrator between them. Ya akhi, he's your Muslim brother. Love your brother. Hug him up and kiss him, ya akhi. And don't hold him in your heart. What they call it now, the lawyers and the people who, you know, they study these things in the classroom. Alternative dispute resolution techniques. SubhanAllah. And we Muslims are the champions of that, ya akhi. Because we can sit and talk. And we can brainstorm. And you know, we are the kind of people who, even if we have done something wrong to our brother, even if we have done something wrong, I have the hadith, but I can't recollect it right now. That we are the one to go forward to him, and we would say to him, ya akhi, I am sorry for what I have done. Even though I may be in the right, I go to my Muslim brother, I have offended you, ya akhi. And you make yourself small before your Muslim brother, just so that there would be unity between you and your brother. La ilaha illallah. Not that I am right and he has to come to me to apologize and I didn't do anything wrong and I have a piece of my mind for him and that you stuck up here and you waiting for him to come. Ya akhi, subhanallah. How long are you going to live for? And when is your ajal that the malaika wrote concerning you? When is it going to finish? Do you know when it is you are going to meet your Lord that you are so sure you have enough time that you can wait on him? Subhanallah. Iyyakum والظن فإن الظن أكذب الحديث. إياكم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned us, يا أخي الكريم, إياكم والظن, beware and be careful of suspicion, يا أخي. And I've heard of situations that have taken place in this jama'ah. One thing, one incident, and everybody has his interpretation for what has taken place. Subhanallah. Whether it reaches the newspapers and reach this place and that place and the other, and all it needs is one person to spread a rumor. And by the way, don't think that tulab al-ilm are free from this. My brother Ubaid here, he has a brother Yasir, who is in Medina. And Yasir would tell you, and the brothers who are here from Medina would tell you, that sometimes one person would spread a rumor, talib al-ilm, would spread a rumor, and it will spread like wildfire through the jami'. La ilaha illallah. And sometimes it could be a denigration of some person's name or some sheikh's name or something like that. So it's rampant upon us, ya akhi, or among us. We like to take a little rumor or something, and instead of tracing the truth of it, ya akhi, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe, O you who believe, whenever someone in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu, somebody, a fasiq, comes to you with a piece of information, what to do? Take it and spread it like wildfire? Is that what the Quran says? Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of you? No. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Seek the truth of it, ya akhi. Clarify. Where did you get that, ya akhi? Quote your isnad. Everything falls apart when you tell them that. Where you got it from, ya akhi? How dare you make such a statement, ya akhi? Stop it there. Right there and then, ya akhi. When these kind of problems arise. إياكم والظن فإن الظن أكذب الحديث. Your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling you this, ya akhi. The dhan, suspicion of your Muslim brother, is أكذب الحديث, is the worst form of lying, or the most lying form of speech. ولا تحاسدوا, and do not envy one another, ya akhi. ولا تناجشوا, and do not inflate prices upon one another, ya akhi. وَلَا تَبَغَضُوا, and do not hate one another, ya akhi. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ, and do not undercut one another. Somebody makes an offer for a particular, in a particular deal, and you decide to undercut and stop him, or stop the deal, so that you can get into it. لا إله إلا الله. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. The Muslim is a brother to another Muslim, ya akhi. It's your Muslim brother we are speaking about. This person is the person that you are going to share Jannah with, ya akhi. This is the person who you are going to share Jannah with. Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. La yazlimuhu. He does not oppress him. Wa la yakhzuluhu. And he does not fail him. I must not fail my Muslim brother. And these are resolutions, ya akhi, for all of us. I do not fail my Muslim brother. He counts on me and he depends on me. I will not fail him. وَلَا يَكْذِبُهُ, and he does not lie to him. وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ, and he does not hold him in contempt. وَالتَّقْوَى, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to his heart, pointed to his chest, and he said, وَالتَّقْوَى هَا هُنَا وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. And he says, taqwa is here, ya akhi. And he pointed to his chest three times. At-taqwa, that quality of piety, ya akhi. بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْكِرُ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. بِحَسْبِ مْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ. It is sufficient for a person, in terms of evil and wrongdoing, it, that he should hold his Muslim brother in contempt. You are hearing what Rasulullah is saying, ya akhi? And how many of us, mashallah, you go to sleep and you rest your head on the pillow and you say, yeah man, I'll do for him. I'll fix him good. And you are resting your head on your pillow and you are carrying that burden with you. بحسب امرئ من الشر ان يحقر اخاه المسلم. It is sufficient for a Muslim, for a person to hold his Muslim brother in contempt as an evil. That is enough. That is enough as evidence against you. لا إله إلا الله كل مسلم على مسلم حرام. Every Muslim to another Muslim is inviolable. He is haram to you. He is consecrated to you. He is holy. A Muslim is holy in front of you. He is not like a kafir, ya akhi. That Muslim is holy. He is consecrated. He is inviolable. دمه وماله وعرضه. His blood, his property, and his honor. وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين من كل ذنب فاستغفره إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم. حياك الله. صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله.
Protect or support your brother and assist your brother, whether he is the one committing the wrong or the one who is wrong.
Your Muslim brother who is wrong, the akhi, he is the one. Remember, al-mazlum wattaqu du'a al-mazlum, fa inna laysa baynahu wa bayna Allah hijab. Fear the dua of the mazloom, the person who is oppressed, because there is no hijab between him and his Lord when he makes a dua to him. So the person who is the mazloom, that person, his position is quite clear, that we have to come to his assistance. And just as the hadith has said, la yazlimuhu, he does not oppress. The Muslim does not oppress his Muslim brother. It is also clear from Quran that the person who is mazloom, the person who is oppressed, that he is permitted an yajhara su, that the evil that has befallen him, that he is permitted to come out with it in the open. Secondly, the person, the brother is saying, the one who is the oppressor, this is the one whose hand has to be refrained or restrained. Alright? So that if a person was to be an oppressor, ya akhi, then his hand has to be restrained. And that if it can be done with the hand, is done with the hand. And if it cannot be done with the hand, then with the tongue. And if it cannot be done with the tongue, وَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَهَذَا أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. It does not mean to say that whenever we see a situation among brothers, that the first step that we are going to do is to rise up in arms. We have had that experience, ya akhi, in Trinidad. Remember in 1990 there was an attempted coup, the first in the West. an attempted Islamic, and I say in inverted commas, coup in the West, where the Muslims or a group of the Muslims, they saw oppression taking place in the land. And money was spending helter-skelter, and corruption was rampant and everything, and they decided to take power and to seize power in the land. What became of it, Yasi? Is that the solution? Is that the solution here among your Muslim brothers, when a simple talk and a simple smile and sitting down with your Muslim brother and trying to reason with him would solve a situation and a problem? You see, the thing is, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. We must not only look and isolate the problems in such a way that we do not include those things that are actually causing the problem. The problem is حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. And حب الدنيا could be interpreted also as حب القراصي and حب المنصب and all of these sort of things. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about those things which will cause a wahna, weakness to descend upon the Muslims, and iftirat, and separation between them. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this wahna? What is this weakness? And he said, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. The love for this world and the fear for death. Those who we follow, they would rush into the battlefield. We, Yahi, you know where is our battlefield? The couch in our living rooms and the television that is in front of us. That is our battlefield, mashallah. We're battling to see how many hours we can sit there and take in the movies. Eh? You know where is our battlefield? Right after Salatul Jumu'ah is finished. I was told, do not go past 10 past. What it was? 1 or 2? 10 past 2. Do not make the mistake. This is our battlefield, mashallah. We have to go back out there. And we have to earn the dunya. حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. We fear the death, ya akhi. So the problem is not one-fold, but the problem is two and threefold. And we have a situation to deal with where we have to look, we have to do tazkiyah of our own nafs, ya akhi. We have to clean up our souls. And we have to look at the thing in correct perspective. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The question says, in this society where racism is being hidden in organizations and institutions, how do we react to it? I presume that the question here comes from a sister. You all are going to be faced with problems. We are all going to be faced with problems. أَشَدُّ النَّاسُ إِبْتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Those people who have had the most serious problems in life were the prophets. You've had problems? You've heard about, think about the worst case scenario of torture and difficulty and problems that our brothers and sisters in Kosovo and Bosnia and so on had faced. The hadith is telling us that the people who had the most amount of problems and ibtila and difficulty were the prophets. Imagine a man being held from one side on the right and left, and a steel saw is cut through his entire body. Imagine a Yahud will come after the morning, he will come and he will boast to his people, I killed 300 prophets today. La ilaha illallah. So we're talking about problems, my brother or sister, the prophets face the problems. And you have a little touch of it. So the problem, okay, fine, the problem is racism, Yahi. What do? You are being oppressed. And you are being told this and you are being told that. You remember we were talking about, it's not the happiness or the sadness that you might be in. Remember, you could live your entire life as a Muslim being sad and being unhappy and getting a raw deal. It can happen. Does it mean you're going to the hellfire? No. And you could live your entire life, mashallah, driving your Lexus. Huh? And eating caviar and I hope it's not drinking champagne. But that doesn't mean that you're going to Shanna, ya akhi. or vice versa? How do we react to it? And my dear sister, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, how do we react to racism and problems in the institutions? He said, "Ajaban li amr al-mu'min." How amazing, how beautiful this matter is of the believer. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khayr. That his matter, all of it, to him is good. وَلَا يَكُونُ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِمُؤْمِنِ. And that is not for anyone except the believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has specified you, mashallah. And hear what he says. إِنْ أَصَابَهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Whenever goodness and happiness was to come to him, what does he do? Shakar. He gives thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And it was good for him. Note carefully, he didn't say that when good comes to him, it was good for him. No. Something come in between. When good hits him, he gives thanks and he gets the reward. It was good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ دَرَّاءُ. And if evil was to overtake him, and problems and fitna was to descend upon him, صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Then he would have patience and it would be good for him. This is the effect, ya akhi. Whether you have it good or you have it bad. You have it good, give thanks and praise. Alhamdulillah. Perform some extra salah. Give some sadaqah. Do good, ya akhi, and praise Allah. And if you have things rough in your life and you're looking at your Muslim brother and you're saying, hey, how come he has it so good? And I'm only faced with problems, ya akhi. Don't envy your brother. No. This is what Allah has ordained for him, and this is what Allah has ordained for you. What is going to befall you would not overtake you, and what is going to overtake you will not befall you. This is the straight and simple scenario. So you give thanks when you see good, and when you have problems, and you're going to have problems, O Muslim. And as your iman increases, you're going to have more problems. It's not going to get easier. Sabr. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Have patience, because patience is beautiful. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And it is good for him. So whether you have it good or you have it bad, you do the correct thing in terms of giving thanks or in terms of having patience, and both are going to be rewarded. You are going to be rewarded for يوم القيامة. والله تعالى أعلم. Let me just go through this one, inshallah. Brother, could you quote a hadith that supports? What if I can't quote the hadith? I'm not an alim. Wait till the actual conversation, Allah. That supports the wall between brothers and sisters during an educational speech. La ilaha illallah. Don't you think that this is the first form of racism? Or should we say sexism? La ilaha illallah. Sister, this is a rough question for me to deal with. The thing about it is that, you know, Quran tells us, you know, نُكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّونَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ, that tell the believing men that they should do what? That they should lower their gaze. My dear sister, and I'm speaking to you directly, the thing is that we have an institution in Islam called lowering the gaze. It is there for the believing men with regards to their believing sisters, and for the believing sisters too with regards to the believing brothers. Not only that, when we step out of the masjid too, you can't be gazing at the guy because he has his shirt loosened down and he's showing his bare chest. No, sister. So let's not talk about the masjid alone. Let's talk about whether we're in the masjid or we are out of the masjid. And so, the institution of, or the placing of the demarcation is so that, inshallah, if brothers, you know, they have a little weakness in their iman, they wouldn't be gazing at the sisters. And vice versa for the sisters who may be there, and that is a similar case. So that, inshallah, what had happened also too, you see, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha reports that she would come and perform the salah in the masjid. The masjid had no separation as we know it. But she would perform the salah and she would return to her home and no one would be able to identify her. They would perform it at such an early time and they would return. Not only that, but the covering or the way that they were garbed in that time is that they would cover entirely from head to toe, and they would wear the niqab, and the face would be entirely covered. If we had all of our sisters covered in that proper way, then there would be no need for that separation that is in the masjid. So certain precautions have to be taken. Of course, there is ikhtilaf between the ulama, so those who say it is wajib to cover the face and those who say that it is the sunnah. But Shaykh al-Albani, he adds that even though, you know, there is permissibility, it is not wajib. He said, khashiyatan min al-fitna, if you fear fitna, then cover the face. So the end effect is the same from the two different positions. So, sister, it is a protection for yourself and it is a protection for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the right path. Allah Ta'ala.